नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भर्भवती नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपाकुमारा गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमो पङ्कजनाभाय नमो पङ्कजमालिने नमो पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्ग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड महाराज निमी मीट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस नंबर 45। श्री हवेरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत आत्मानि एष भागवतोत्तमः। श्रीहवेरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मना भूतानि भगवत आत्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमः। श्रीहवेरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवनि एष भागवतोत्तमः।
Good night.
Srihavir Uvacha. Srihavir said, Sarva Bhuteshu. In all objects, in matter, spirit, and combinations of matter and spirit. Yaha, anyone who Pashyet, sees Bhagavad Bhavam, the ability to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Atmanaha, Supreme Spirit Soul, or the transcendence beyond the material concept of life. Bhutani, all beings. Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmani, the basic principle of all existence. Eshaha, this. Bhagavat Uttamaha, a person advanced in devotional service. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Purport. The three modes of material nature torment the conditioned soul, who absorbs his mind in the separated material energy of the Lord. The function of the separated energy, Bhinna Prakriti, is to take the living entity away from the reality, which is that everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. Being covered by gross ignorance, the bewildered conditioned soul believes that only the objects of his own limited vision actually exist. Sometimes such foolish persons speculate that if a tree falls in a forest with no one to hear it, there will actually be no sound. The conditioned souls do not consider that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading, there is no question of no one's hearing. The Lord always hears. As stated in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 13.14, Sarvatah Shrutimal Loke, the Supreme Lord hears everything. He is Upadrishtha, the witness of everything, 13.23. In this verse, the word Bhagavat Uttamaha, the most advanced devotee, indicates that there are those who are not gross materialists but who are not the highest devotees. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who cannot properly distinguish between devotees and non-devotees and who therefore never worship the pure devotees of the Lord are to be known as Kanishta Adhikaris, devotees on the lowest stage of devotional service. Such Kanishta Adhikaris engage in worship of the Supreme Lord, especially in the temple, but are indifferent to the Lord's devotees. Thus they misunderstand this statement by Lord Shiva in the Padma Puran. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worship of Tadiya or anything belonging to Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse, Sri Vishnu is Satchidananda Vigraha, similarly the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Satchidananda Vigraha, Guru, Vaishnavas and things used by them must be considered Tadiya and without a doubt worshipable by all living beings. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 12.38 purport. The Kanishta Adhikari is eager to engage his materialistic qualifications in the service of the Lord, mistaking such material expertise to be the sign of advanced devotion. But by continuing to serve the Supreme Lord and the devotees engaged in propagating the Lord's mission, the Kanishta Adhikari also advances in his realization and comes to the stage of dedicating his activities to helping more advanced Vaishnavas. Even such Kanishta Adhikaris can help ordinary living entities by their association, since at least the Kanishta Adhikaris have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this faith, the Kanishta Adhikari gradually becomes inimical to those who are opposed to the Lord. As he gradually becomes more and more inimical to those who hate the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becomes more attracted to friendship with other faithful servants of the Lord, the Kanishta Adhikari approaches the second class stage called Madhyama. In the Madhyama stage, the Vaishnava sees the Lord as the cause of all causes and the chief goal of everyone's loving propensity. He sees the Vaishnavas as his only friends within this material world and is eager to bring innocent people within the shelter of Vaishnava society. Also, a Madhyamadhikari strictly avoids associating with the self-proclaimed enemies of God. When such an intermediate qualification becomes mature, the concept of supreme qualification begins to present itself. That is, one comes to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Srinya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Deham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyetha Kalpazarupescha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim, Yatkripa tamaham vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Hare Krishna. This is a very long purport and one of the most important and instructive sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we learn the different types of devotees and how we should deal with them, and how a community can grow based on how the devotees raise the standard of their devotional service. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, ISKCON Guru and GBC, he has written a very nice paper on this in ISKCON Communications Journal, which is now not published anymore. But he had written a very nice paper on how a community has to grow from Kanishtha to Madhyama. And this is what is explained in this verse, this purport, in great detail. And this verse especially talks about the Uttam Adhikari, how the topmost pure devotee lives and behaves. So there are three types of devotees. First is the Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari means a low class or the first level of devotee. Now, at this level, a devotee has faith in Krishna, but it is not strong. He is very enthusiastic, but with the same enthusiasm, he can even leave devotional service. He's got a lot of sentiments, but he can be easily swayed away because his faith and knowledge is not strong. And little higher than this, actually much higher than this, is the Madhyamadhikari. Madhyamadhikari has stronger faith, he can convince others, And he also, as this purport reveals, he knows that he has to avoid those who are inimical. He makes friends with those who are sincere devotees of the Lord, compassionate to those who are ignorant. And he has great knowledge, he is improving his knowledge and faith. But he may not be able to convince everyone, but at least his faith is not shaken. And Uttamadhikari is he who sees everyone as devotees of Krishna. He sees everyone as part and parcels of Krishna. And as today's purport reveals, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Cha Mai Pashyati. He sees that, actually the purport begins with this verse, that he sees Krishna is everywhere and he sees Krishna in everything. So community also can be Kanishta Adhikari community. What it means is most of the members would be at the Kanishta level. Or a community could be Madhyam Adhikari community, where most devotees are always having this mood of service and they are eager to serve. Or now for many of us who easily can identify ourselves with the Kanishta Adhikari, the challenge is how to rise from Kanishta Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari. That is the challenge for sadhakas, for devotees. So what is the symptom of a Kanishta Adhikari? How can we know we are Kanishta Adhikari society, or I am a Kanishta Adhikari? How can we know? We can know if there are certain symptoms. Symptoms of contentiousness, envy, not revealing our hearts in confidence to anyone. Insecure that, I may not get a position. Like for example, if I am going through a difficulty in my spiritual life, I may be scared to reveal my heart to another devotee, because I may feel indirectly I am accepting that I am subordinate to you, and I may not get the position, or I may lose the position that I have already got. So it's a very unhealthy society, unhealthy community. For this is how a Kanishta Adhikari thinks. He always thinks of friends, enemies. He is always insecure. He is ambitious to the extent of even willing to forsake Vaishnava principles. So this is a Kanishta Adhikari. And he is always carrying labels with him. Kanishta Adhikari is a devotee who has labels in his pocket. So anybody comes, he takes out the label, he writes. He is what? Lazy. And he takes that label and sticks it. Externally, he may be Hare Krishna, he may be nice. But internally, he is sticking label on different devotees. He passes solid judgments, absolute judgments on others. Who is he? He is a miserly person. So whenever that person comes in front of him next time, already the judgment has been passed, the verdict has been declared. So the behavior accordingly happens. So a Kanishta Adhikari is always judging as insincere, lazy, and extremely blunt. And he thinks, my job is done. I'm being honest. So this kind of improper etiquette masquerades as being honest. A Madhyam Adhikari may also see faults. Madhyam Adhikari also can see everybody. Sometimes some faults are obvious. But a Madhyam Adhikari doesn't think that, okay, my job is to find faults. No. He thinks how this person can come closer to Krishna. So Madhyam Adhikari is always, he never forgets the Krishna connection. That is the point. A Kanishta Adhikari, prominent identity is I, me and mine. Madhyam Adhikari is the larger good. Madhyam Adhikari thinks of how a person can come closer to Krishna. So now let us say, we assume that I am a Kanishta Adhikari. So now as a Kanishta Adhikari, how can we rise to Madhyam Adhikari? Now this is very interesting. The solution may appear a little strange. But the solution given by Acharyas, and Ravindra Saraprabhu writes in great detail about this, he says, believe it or not, the best way a Kanishta Adhikari community rises to the Madhyam Adhikari community, or the best way a Madhyam Adhikari community remains Madhyama and doesn't degrade down, is when hearing about Krishna becomes the number one priority. How? Because hearing, Shravanam, is the foundation of a spiritual community. How does it happen? Now, when we hear about Krishna, because Kanishta Adhikari is also sincere. It's not that he is, he's not having attraction to Krishna. He's sincere, but he lacks maturity. But by sincerely hearing about Krishna, Krishna is a real benefactor of the conditioned soul. He purifies the heart of the devotee. And Shravanam followed by Mananam, contemplation of what we hear. And when we lead our lives centered on hearing and chanting as the foundation, as the most important service, our hearts get purified. And we, you know, there is something called as conscience, the inner moral compass, which guides us to true north. That is very active when we allow the pure sound vibration to purify our heart. The false ego dissolves when we hear sincerely about Krishna. Now you may wonder, what is the connection between hearing about Krishna and being contentious, envious, and overcoming it? Sometimes there are people who, I have heard people say, Prabhuji, today can we have some practical class? No, we are hearing Bhagavatam, we chant a lot of Bhagavatam verses, that's nice, but today can we have some practical discussion? So when we, you know, what is implicit in this statement? What is unspoken message in this kind of statement is that hearing and chanting about Krishna is not practical. No. The false ego cannot be tackled by our intelligence, because false ego is much more subtler than intelligence. So how can we tackle our false ego through our intelligence? False ego can be tackled only by a superior power, by Krishna. This has been brilliantly analyzed by one doctor, psychiatrist, Dr. Scott Peck. Now, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu quotes him in his paper. And Dr. Scott Peck is no more now, he died a few years ago. He was a very famous writer and psychiatrist in America. He wrote one book called The Road Less Traveled in 1970s. It became a bestseller. And then a few years later, he wrote another book called, I don't remember the name of that book. It's on community building. Yeah, The Different Drum. It's about how a community, so he studied different communities. You know, Sikh community, Parsis, Hindus, Muslims, all different, the Jehovah's Witness. So like this, different communities. And he wrote an whole analysis of how communities go through four different stages. And when I read his book, I could understand that why hearing about Krishna is so important. Of course, he doesn't talk about hearing about Krishna, but Ravindra Swarup Prabhu in his paper talks about common commitment to sadhana. He says, a devotee's most important service is, are we hearing about Krishna? So the logic is, so this doctor, he writes, the lowest community is a pseudo community. Pseudo community means where it appears to be externally like a nice community, but it is pseudo because the relationships are very, very superficial. They are too good to be true. Everybody is happy, nice. And there are no conflicts, not because there are no conflicts. There is no conflict resolution there, because there is conflict avoidance. The members of the community avoid conflicts. They only have this bonhomie, you know, sweet, happy greetings to each other, as if everything is good. So in the name of being positive and appreciative, the real issues are buried. And not only the real issues are buried, the real issues are completely denied. Oh, there's no problem, everything is nice. Hari bol. So basically why, so this may appear to be very good, externally it may appear to be a fantastic community, but it is a volcano that is waiting to burst. Why? Because there is no safe space for an individual to be vulnerable. There is no space for an individual to express his or her emotions. There is no safety for expressing deep wounds and hurts. So it's a pseudo community. And the second, so he says, the community can grow to the next stage, which is, now it's a very paradoxical term. He says second stage is called chaos. Chaos means it appears to be very chaotic and mess. But actually this is a stage when members vent their frustration. They just release what is there in their heart. And there's lot of mudslinging, as they call, or lot of churning, and there is no holding back. And this is similar to what we read in organizational behavior. I think those who are working in offices, you must have heard this. Forming, storming, every team building exercise they do. Forming, storming, what? Norming, performing, and then transforming. So it's similar to that. What happens at a small team, that can happen in a community also. So first there is pseudo community, then there is chaos, where members express their feelings to each other, and sometimes here the egos get hurt and wounds come out. But the challenge of the community, the most difficult is the third phase, which is the phase which he calls as from chaos, he calls it as emptiness. Again, this sounds very paradoxical. Emptiness means this is the stage when members empty their hearts from all the negativities they carry. This requires the greatest endeavor to remove the false ego-driven prejudices from the heart. To empty the heart of the prejudices and biases and negativities is very difficult. It requires a Herculean effort to understand that it is my mistake, my problem, I am at fault. It's extremely difficult. But if members can do that, they can empty their hearts, they can purge out the unhealthy feelings, then the community comes to a true community, the fourth level. So now he is not a Hare Krishna devotee, but he talks about false ego. He talks about ego as a great barrier for members of a community to be happy. And then, if you think about it, how can ego be tackled? If I use my intelligence to tackle my ego, but ego is much more subtler than intelligence. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, each is more subtle than the other, than the mind, then there is intelligence, and then there is false ego. How with my tiny intelligence I can smash my ego? Not possible. Ego can be smashed when we first express our sincerity and humility by hearing about Krishna and allow Krishna to enter the heart. That's why he calls it, Ravindra Swarupa Prabhu calls it as common commitment to sadhana. You know, Srinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suhursatam. Krishna enters the heart. Krishna purifies. Krishna gives us the intelligence. Otherwise, you may do a lot of introspection. Sometimes people think, I know what to do. But without Krishna Katha, without it being centered on Krishna consciousness, without being centered on scriptures, without it being centered on Shabda Dvani, sound vibration of sinner devotees, advanced Vaishnava, then our speculation, our introspection is faulty. Sometimes we have a lot of faith in our introspection and self-awareness. Self-awareness, you know, one of the most powerful people in the world who had great introspection and self-awareness, you will be shocked. Adolf Hitler. Hitler used to do everyday introspection. Every day he used to write journals. Sometimes people say you should write journals. But if you read Hitler, Hitler used to write everyday journals, everyday introspection. Very high degree of self-awareness. But without conscience, that self-awareness is speculation. It is disastrous because it is motivated by the mind and ego. When the sound vibration comes from a superior source and that purifies the heart, and then when we do mananam based on what we receive from pure devotees, from advanced Vaishnavas, then that has effect. And often we underestimate the power of hearing. As we grow older, we may think other things are more practical than the simple activity of hearing Krishna Katha. I remember, many years ago, that time Prerana classes used to be at Bhaktivedanta Hall. And then we decided to have Prerana in the temple hall. And this was the initial days. And during that time, there was one boy who was coming for my week. I used to do youth preaching. And that, you know, I was little younger and fired up, and I did mistakes which I regret now. Like in my preaching, I would speak heavily about certain Babas and certain Gurus in India. So in one of the weekly classes, one boy was coming, and I used to criticize all these bogus Gurus and Devata worship, and he was very attached to one very famous Baba. So in the class, somebody asked me about this Baba and I smashed. I said, Prabhupada said, sab chor hai, you know. And as I said it, I realized I shouldn't have said it. You know, it is one of those things when, you know, many times it happens when we speak something, the moment you speak, you realize, aray, I shouldn't have said it. It happened. The damage was done. The glass, once broken, cannot be joined. The words once spoken cannot be taken back. So I had done the damage. And the moment I said it, I realized I shouldn't have said it. And I looked at him, his face just sank. And I said, nahin, galti ho gaya. But then I tried to make up, but the damage was done. And as I expected, this boy didn't come for my weekly program anymore. So then I was feeling very guilty, repentant. I would call him, he wouldn't pick up my phone. And finally, somehow after weeks, I got him. And I begged him, please come just once. He said, Prabhu, but I won't come. I'll come outside the temple. I'll not come inside the temple. So I knew that I really offended him. So when he came, he was outside the gate. I fell at his feet. I begged forgiveness and I sincerely apologized. And I said, you know, I'm a new preacher. I don't know the etiquette. I'm sorry. I got carried away. Blah, blah, blah. I told him many things. And then he said something interesting. He said, Prabhu, you know, you are sincere and I have no issues with you. I accept your apology and I have no hard feelings. But I realized that it's not your fault, nor is it, you know, anybody's fault, nor is it Prabhupada's fault. It's just that the process, I'm realizing that this process of Krishna consciousness is too heavy for me. Because I'm realizing, I'm sensing that if I keep coming to your Hare Krishna more for your classes, it may not be you, it may be somebody else. But if I hear about Krishna more, I will forget my Baba soon. And I don't want to forget my Baba. I'm very attached to my Baba. So I was relieved that at least he doesn't have bad feelings for me. So I said, okay. So I left him at that. And then, but my heart, you know, when you're a young youth preacher, your vision is also a little myopic because of lack of experience. So I was somewhat desperate. I was a pylon. I would catch someone and I would want that person to become a devotee. Till he gets disgusted with me. Or he becomes a devotee. So I was thinking how to get him back, how to get him back. And during that period, there was an announcement of a Prerana festival. And Gaurang Prabhu was scheduled to give the Prerana talk. So when I heard Gaurang Prabhu's name, I immediately went to Gaurang Prabhu. And Gaurang Prabhu, because, you know, all of us know, he is a very attractive speaker and he knows the pulse of the youth. He knows what to tell the crowd and what not to say. So I got an idea. I called up this boy and I said, since now we were good friends, now it was a peaceful relationship, I told him, I have one request to you, one favor. I'll never ask you anything. Just once you come for one class. Because he was a very new devotee. He had not heard Gaurang Prabhu as yet. So I was hoping that he comes for this class. And he sits here. And Gaurang Prabhu speaks the class. And he gets mesmerized. And then he becomes a devotee. So I was having a very fantastic idea about what will happen. So he said, no, I'm not interested. I said, no, Prabhu, just one favor. Only one class you hear in your life. And that is this Prerana lecture. Nothing else. Please do me a favor. So after repeated cajoling, he finally relented. He said, fine, Prabhu, I'll come only for one class. Only one. I said, yes. And I went to Gaurang Prabhu and I said, Prabhu, you know, I told him the whole history, what had happened, how I had fed out this boy. And Prabhu, I said, you can save, you know, now you can do something about it. So he said, for him, you know, like so many boys are coming anyway. So he said, no, I'll speak. You don't worry, I'll take care. I'll speak my class as usual. I said, okay, Prabhu, you just do Krishna Katha, you do your presentation. I was so relieved that this boy is going to come. And I was that time the in charge of the Prerana festival I was organizing. And the day morning I was very excited, he's going to come and he's going to hear Gaurang Prabhu and he's going to become a devotee. During that period, there was one visiting sannyasi also in the temple. And this sannyasi was an elderly sannyasi, he is no more now. And he was very deeply absorbed in Tattva Sandarbha and, you know, whenever he would give class, he would close his eyes and he would speak from Sararatha Darshani, Bhavartha Deepika and all the exalted scriptures. And when he came on Friday, I was in guest reception seva also. So I told him, Maharaj, there is this Prerana festival tomorrow and Gaurang Prabhu is going to speak. Because I didn't want this Maharaj to speak because I had a material estimation that because if he speaks, you know, this boy would never become a devotee. That's what I thought. Because I knew Gaurang Prabhu will speak something for the youth, with the youth will understand and get attracted to, with jokes and examples like that. And here is a sadhu, an elderly sadhu who is absorbed in Krishna. And he immediately understood what I was explaining. He said, oh, okay. But when do I have to give class? I said, you give on Sunday morning. Saturday evening is Prerana. Gaurang Prabhu will give class. He said, oh, acha, okay. I would like to hear the class. So where is the class? I said, different temple hall. He said, oh, okay. And then meanwhile, I told Gaurang Prabhu that this boy has come. And I was telling him, Gaurang Prabhu, relax, don't worry. You know, I'll give my class. So the whole thing happened and I was there here near the door waiting, seeing all the boys settle down. And then Gaurang Prabhu entered for the Prerana class. And he entered from here and offered obeisances to the deities and he was taking darshan. And that time the sannyasi, that Maharaj entered the temple hall from the door. And I was standing and I thought that Maharaj will now sit on the bench to watch the Prerana festival. And Gaurang Prabhu will turn back any moment. And then that Maharaj started walking towards the deities. And then what happened is something which has never happened in the history of Radha Gopinath temple and I'm sure it will never happen again. He walked close and Gaurang Prabhu was taking darshan and then this Maharaj directly walked here and he sat on the Vyasasana. And
My lower jaw dropped. I was shocked. I said, no, he can't give class. Because I was looking at that boy. We had come with his two other friends. And I was only focused on him and his two, three friends whom I wanted to make devotees. And when I saw this Maharaj sit and he was just innocently looking at everyone, smiling. And the kirtan was going on down here. And I was so shocked. And then I saw, look at Gaurang Prabhu. Gaurang Prabhu took darshan. He turned back and he walked and he saw Maharaj is sitting here. And Gaurang Prabhu being a gentleman, he was standing here and immediately sat down there only, as if he's one of the students who's come for the prerna lecture. He just sat like this. And I got shocked. I said, Gaurang Prabhu, it's your class, you're supposed to give prerna lecture. He said, no, I'll give next month. Kya, abhi Maharaj baitha hai, bolne do. I said, no Prabhu, but what about that boy? You know, I was more interested. He said, no, it's okay. Are sadhu hai, sadhu ka class suno. I said, no, Prabhuji, but we have advertised the posters, you know, you are the one, we have so called so many boys for you. What do you mean, Gaurang Prabhu said? You mean I should tell Maharaj that I have to give class? I'm okay, let him go, I want to hear, I'll hear. And I was so frustrated. I said, Prabhu, you have to give class. And then I got frustrated and I walked little behind. And then this Maharaj started chanting Radha Madhav. After Radha Madhav, Gaurang Prabhu got up. And Gaurang Prabhu said something in his ear. So I got hope. I thought Gaurang Prabhu is saying he is supposed to give class. But Gaurang Prabhu took the mic and he introduced the Maharaj. And he said, we are very happy today this Maharaj has come and Hari Bol and he is going to speak on this topic. And then that Maharaj spoke. And as I expected, he spoke on the connection between the 8 verses of Shikshashtakam. And I knew the boys don't even know how to pronounce Shikshashtakam. They were so new, they didn't know what it was. And I was feeling, what is this Maharaj speaking? But then he was absorbed in his Krishna Katha. And then sure enough, after the Prerna festival, I never saw that boy again for some time. And his friends also. But then a few weeks later, I saw that boy taking darshan in the temple hall. Then I didn't say anything because I was afraid of that Baba issue coming up. I had become very sensitive. And then again, a few weeks later, I saw him. Then I saw him with another friend. Occasionally, I would see him. And one year later, I was surprised to see him in tilak and a bead bag. And then I took prasad with him during the Sunday feast and I asked him, I didn't touch that sensitive question, I just asked him, so it's nice to see you are chanting. You chant? He said, yes, I chant 16 rounds. I said, wow. And then as I was talking, he himself said, Prabhu, I want to really thank you. You know, that day you called me for the Prerna festival, that was a life-changing experience for me. This was a bigger shock for me. I said, really? Really, that was a life-changing experience. What happened? He said, what a sadhu, what a class. It touched my heart so deeply and he went on glorifying. And every word this boy was speaking, I was feeling as if he's slapping me. Left, right, center. You fool. You know, what is the calculation? What is your estimation? How do you analyze? How do you judge? It was a wake-up call. Is somebody shaking me to the core? And then he asked me, you know, do we have cassettes of these Maharaj lectures? Where can we get? That time we didn't have. I don't know if we had Discount Desire Tree. At least I was not aware of all these things. So I connected him whatever way I could. Then he became a devotee. Then he's in the Middle East. But he went on to become a fixed up devotee in Krishna consciousness. So the point is, what Srila Prabhupada says in one place, that if the speaker is potent, he is actually carrying Krishna in his heart. And if the hearer heart is fertile place, Srila Prabhupada says, just like if the husband is potent and the wife is fertile, their union will give birth to a child. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada says that if the speaker is potent, is wanting to give Krishna, and the hearer is sincere and is willing to receive, then that union will give birth to Krishna in that community, in that gathering. That will be Krishna experienced. And when Krishna is there, there is no room for envy. There is no room for prejudice. So therefore, it is important that we connect to Krishna. And we are so lucky, now modern day devotees are so lucky, we have this ISKCON Desire Tree, for example. It's like an ocean, you can get lost in that ocean, get drowned in that ocean. There are so many lectures. Like last 2 months I was traveling and I was not actually in the temple. I was out of Bombay for a long time. Then while in Bombay I was also traveling. So my shelter was this ISKCON Desire Tree. You know, so many lectures. You could hear, like I was hearing Kalakanta Prabhu, then there is Braj Bihari Prabhu from Washington, then there is Urmila Mataji, then Kadam Kanand Maharaj. You just go and you get lost. And each devotee, if you see the realizations, like I was hearing one class of Kadam Kanand Maharaj. Now this is a Gaur Purnima class given in Canberra, Australia. Now there is a reason why I am telling this example, because simple 1 hour class, and I could sense from the class that the audience is all devotees, small gathering. So Maharaj is beginning the class, he's saying, so today I'm going to ask all of you a question. He said, why are you celebrating Gaur Purnima? So the devotee said, because Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. So Kadam Kanan Maharaj now, he is playing the devil's advocate. He is saying, who says Gaur Purnima is important? So then one of the devotees I could hear is saying, oh, our parampara says, and then Kadam Kanan Maharaj is acting, you know, is challenging. He says, how do you know parampara is right? Parampara could be cheating. So like that he is asking, he is challenging them. And they are giving different answers. For half an hour, he completely smashed all their arguments on why we should celebrate Gaur Purnima. And after half an hour, they had nothing more to say. The devotees had nothing more to say. And Maharaj said, now that I have sufficiently shaken your faith, now I will answer the questions myself. And the next half an hour, what a class he gave. He began by saying, so all the challenges I offered, these challenges have no answers. And he said, in Krishna consciousness, logic and intelligence and arguments can help to a certain extent. Beyond that, it's only love. We need to feel loved by Krishna. We need to feel loved by the Lord. And that will happen when we submissively and attentively hear about Krishna. And then he went on to speak beautiful, sweet pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And at the end of 1 hour, 15 minutes class, I was feeling so nourished. And it made so much sense. You know, because if we argue, just for argument's sake, there is no end to it. So ultimately what we need is, we need to hear. That's what in today's purport we see, they are quoting this beautiful verse from Padma Puran. The authors, the Gopi Paranandana Prabhu and Ridhanand Maharaj are quoting this famous verse where Lord Shiva is saying, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. We should get attached to Krishna, hearing about Krishna's devotees, and specifically Krishna's pure devotees, Uttam Adhikaris. And if you see in today's verse, the 45th verse, which is one of the most famous verses, Jiva Goswami has written detailed purport on this, on Uttam Adhikari, the pure devotee of the Lord who is seeing Krishna everywhere and who is seeing Krishna's potential in everywhere. So what we will do, we will briefly discuss about one such Uttam Adhikari, his pastimes. And then to the extent we attentively hear this pastime, although it may not have all the logical connections and acronyms to help us get some answers to our age-old problems, but just the Shabdadvani, the sound vibration of hearing the glorification of Uttam Adhikari, who sees Krishna everywhere, we will also reawaken the dormant attraction that we have in our hearts for Krishna. And who can be a greater example of Uttam Adhikari, somebody who loved Krishna and saw Krishna in everything, than our own Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's potency was he could transport Krishna consciousness anywhere and everywhere. Even in the most God-forsaken places, he reawakened Krishna consciousness. In fact, even those souls who were reluctant, I'll give one example of this, how even they got attracted to Krishna. So the best example is of Srila Prabhupada's initial days in 1965 and 1966. This was the time when ISKCON was founded and it started spreading. So you need to know a little background of this. Srila Prabhupada in 1966, he had just established ISKCON and he had already been in England, New York for 1 year now. And he was contemplating spreading the movement to England, Canada, everywhere. He had just started ISKCON. And during this period, now you have to understand, we have to have a background picture. Srila Prabhupada is 71 years old. He's an old man. And is working so hard, whole day. And you know how many hours rest he was taking during that period? Out of 24 hours, he took rest only 4 hours. But whoever met Srila Prabhupada at that time, would see that Srila Prabhupada had very strong and charming smile. And during kirtans, Srila Prabhupada would play mridanga for 1 hour non-stop. Isn't this amazing? And his appetite, excellent. He would eat rice, sabzi, and full of vitality, energetic. And in contrast, the young boys and girls of New York who were coming for his classes, It was so embarrassing for them because they would look so faded. And so, what a contrast it was. So once one of them, he was shocked to see, you know, he's an old man. He said, Prabhupada said, I'm 71. He said, 71? And, you know, he could understand he is nowhere compared to Srila Prabhupada. So he asked, how's your health? Because he thought, how can somebody be like this? It was so actually mystical and magical. So when he asked Srila Prabhupada, how are you able to do so much preaching and, you know, just not taking any rest? So when he asked about Srila Prabhupada's health, Srila Prabhupada took his two fingers and in his belly, Srila Prabhupada just, he played like this, like you play mridanga. And then he played like this and he said, see, you can get the resonance effect. That means I'm doing good. That means I'm healthy. For this boy. So Srila Prabhupada was, had created so much, you know, the followers were coming for Srila Prabhupada's classes. They had so much awe and so much reverence. For them, you know, for when they were, see, just imagine, they were so new boys and girls just coming to Hare Krishna. It's all exotic. And they're hearing Hare Krishna chanting. And they're hearing about Krishna. So for them, holy names is a wonder. For them, Krishna is a wonder. And even Srila Prabhupada was a transcendental wonder. Because they just couldn't understand how can anybody be like this. And nobody could even advise or think of advising Srila Prabhupada to slow down. Why? Because they were busy trying to keep up with him. So to tell someone to slow down, you have to go ahead of him and tell him, no, slow. But they were so far behind and he was, you know, so ahead. And what had happened in 1966, July, August, during this time, in these two months, Srila Prabhupada had established ISKCON. He had a registered society. He had a temple. He had full freedom to preach. And to top it all, he had a band of initiated disciples who were ready to do anything for him. And just 1 year before, see the contrast. If you read Lilamrita, you will find Srila Prabhupada writing letters after letters begging help from India. From Sumati Murarji, from so many industrialists, from the president. He asked for money, for men. Nothing came, nothing. And now, Srila Prabhupada was receiving gifts sent by Krishna. Krishna was directly sending him help. And Srila Prabhupada said during those days, these are the happy days of Krishna consciousness. Now when an old man says, these are my happy days, generally, you know, this is what a retired old man would say when he has some comforts, he has some luxuries. He'll say, oh, these are happy days. But when Srila Prabhupada said, these are happy days, he was not talking of a retired old man. His happy days meant youthful, blossoming preaching. It's an era of expanding preaching. Hopes were expanding, growth was visible, there was no limit to how much Krishna consciousness could spread. Srila Prabhupada was 71, but he had the ambition of a young man. What an amazing personality. Srila Prabhupada himself said, I'm a greedy man. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, when you read about Srila Prabhupada, you can see he was like a courageous young man who was willing to take risks. Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example. He said, I am like a needle that, you know, I entered America like a needle and I came out like a plow. I went small and... So, why I am saying this background is because we need to understand how Srila Prabhupada being Uttam Adhikari, as this verse reveals, he could see Krishna everywhere and he could see the potential of Krishna consciousness everywhere. One day during this period, when these few initiated disciples were with Srila Prabhupada dropped a bomb. He made an announcement, which now we may think, what's the big deal? But we need to understand the background. On this particular Sunday when Srila Prabhupada made this announcement, Srila Prabhupada was changing the face of the world. The whole planet was now going to change. What was this announcement? Srila Prabhupada said, we have been doing kirtan, having classes here regularly, but today we will do kirtan at, which is the first public kirtan Srila Prabhupada did. General knowledge, not Tompkins Square Park. The first kirtan, public kirtan was held at Washington Square Park. So Srila Prabhupada said, today we'll go to Washington Square Park and do kirtan. And devotees were shocked. You may think, Hare, isme kya problem hai? You are chanting kirtan in the temple and Prabhupada is saying, let's go to the park. No.
That time these boys, they were American boys, they just become devotees, they were okay with closed doors, little kirtan, little spirituality. But when Srila Prabhupada said, let's go out, they were not ready for it. Srila Prabhupada looked at them, surprised. He said, no, come on. And they were looking at each other. Swami, and that time Prabhupada was called as Swamiji. Swamiji, we don't do these things in America. Srila Prabhupada said, no, once you try it, you will enjoy it. Prabhupada, but it is 1.5 kilometers away. Actually, 1.5 kilometers is no big deal. It's just 15 minutes walk. So there are different excuses. Srila Prabhupada said, I will come. Now what can you say if Prabhupada says that? I will come with you. See, Srila Prabhupada's one amazing quality was, he had no secrets. He kept no secrets of what he was doing. There was no secrets about his agenda. Any place he would go, he would clearly say, our agenda is make people chant Hare Krishna. And devotees actually got scared. Because it was a weird thing to do. That's why I gave a background. You need to understand America 1965-66. In India, people feel shy to come on the kirtans. You know, there was one boy, he was very shy and he was going to a spiritual organization and he was hearing a lot of other discourses. And he would do things like talk to trees and do all those kind of things. So when he came to Hare Krishna and he would not dance in kirtan and all that. But one day in public, Harinam Sankirtan, I saw him dancing a lot. So I asked him, oh, you have changed so much. He said, Prabhu, it's so fantastic chanting and dancing in kirtan, it's so fun. And considering what I was doing before, this is hardly, you know, this is hardly anything. But those boys and girls were scared. They were thinking, what we'll do? You know, Srila Prabhupada assured, Krishna will help, let us go. In fact, most boys were upset with Srila Prabhupada. Because you cannot make a public figure of yourself by going out and doing kirtan. But Srila Prabhupada was leading. You know, he, Uttam Adhikari, knows Krishna, he wants to give Krishna to everyone. So he began to lead the walk and it was the most sensational walk to the park. Because many times Srila Prabhupada had walked alone to market to purchase certain things and no one noticed. But today, everyone noticed because he was not alone. He had a band of followers who were also shaven-headed and different ropes and instinctively everyone, he is going to do something. He is on a mission. What to speak of others, even his own followers were shocked as they were walking. Just a few months before, Sally Agarwal in Boston, when Srila Prabhupada had gone there, she had told her friends and she had told and, you know, she had thought, oh, this Swamiji has come from India. He's not going to make any waves. He's a simple old man. But little did she know that what to speak of, no waves. Here is Srila Prabhupada going to create a cyclone now. He's going to create something big. He's going to try the first public chanting of Hare Krishna. And it was a typical Sunday in the Washington Square Park. Srila Prabhupada chanted and the disciples were all sitting around him. There was a park, grass, and there was a big sign there saying, keep off the grass. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting right next to it and he was chanting. So the disciples, he was oblivious to it. The disciples surrounded him and they were looking at the sign. And they were so nervous. And Srila Prabhupada chanted and people are looking at them. And disciples started responding very awkwardly at first. And then slowly they got little confidence. And they began chanting and then little stronger. Then a curious crowd gathered around to see, hey, kya chal raha hai? What is happening? And then the policeman came. And said, who is in charge here? And immediately all the disciples, they looked at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada opened his eyes. Srila Prabhupada had a very, very confident demeanor. He just looked up at the policeman. And the policeman got a little shaken by the confidence of Srila Prabhupada. He pointed to the sign, keep off the grass. There's a sign here, keep off the grass. Srila Prabhupada acknowledged, got up, and just one step, the grass ended and the pavement began. And Srila Prabhupada stepped the grass and sat on the pavement. And immediately the disciples also sat right there. And now the police did not know what to do. Because from the grass, he came on the pavement. Same thing, nothing changed much, just one step. So the police didn't know what to react, so quietly they left. Srila Prabhupada continued kirtan. And then after some 40 minutes, he did kirtan and the devotees are chanting. And by the end of 40 minutes, all the devotees are smiling. Srila Prabhupada turned to Ayagriva Prabhu and said, read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and from the preface, Payagriva Prabhu read. And then Prabhupada did some more kirtan, and then they walked back. And when they walked back, all these devotees who had become were so reluctant and so shy, they felt elated. They felt victorious. It was Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Srila Prabhupada had broken the American silence. Now, these were all reluctant souls, confused, nervous, and now they were like fired up. And after that, every day, 3-4 devotees would go for kirtan in the evening. And that's how Krishna consciousness kirtan started in America, New York. But Srila Prabhupada had a bigger and more ambitious plan. 1 month later, which is now going to be the most sensational day in the ISKCON's history, Srila Prabhupada said, today we will go to Tompkins Square Park. And they said, Jai, Hari Bol. They were all excited. Just 1 month before, they were so nervous. Tompkins Square Park was a much bigger park. And if you do kirtan there, everybody knew they'll get a lot of prominence, because a lot of hippies would come, media would come, newspapers would come. So they went to the park. Now, this is a very amazing park, not like the Indian parks, where there were groups of people, there are couples hanging out, and there are hermits, you know, and there were loners. Loners means they would just sit on the bench, look at the sky, then look at the trees and then the leaves, and look at the ground, then look at the garbage. Basically, following the mind helplessly, from hopelessness to frustration to despair to illumination to disgust. So typical spaced out, drug-induced youth lost in their own world. So it's a typical park. And Srila Prabhupada first sent advance party. So 3-4 devotees came with, you know, with the carpet, kartals, and they sat there and they began kirtan. These 3-4 devotees were doing kirtan. Suddenly in the park, everyone started wondering, what is this? Who is this? So the boys came on cycle, young boys, they rode just to this devotee and they started staring at this devotee curiously. What are they doing? And then Srila Prabhupada began walking towards the park with his 6 disciples. Brahmananda Prabhu, you know, huge, big devotee, he carried the harmonium. And Kirtananda Swami, that time he was Kirtananda Prabhu, he was a little special. He had very loose yellow garments that created extra sensation. And just imagine the bizarre, externally it was a bizarre situation. All these devotees walking towards Tompkins Square Park, shaven-headed, dhoti kurta. People were shocked. There were cars going, cars stopped, the driver stopped the cars, and the passengers would lean forward, they would gape at the devotees. They're dressed, they're shaved-headed. And at the stores, different people were sitting. They would poke others to indicate, see the spectacle, see who are going. And there were some tough guys, you know, gundas, and they would be standing at the street corner. They would look at devotees and they would start heckling and passing comments. Some people started shouting at the devotees, "Hey, Buddha!" Some people said, "You have forgotten your pajamas. Where are your pajamas?" Some people screamed, you know, shrill screams. Ah! They would scream at the devotees, and some people they started screaming at the devotees and said, "Danger! Arabs have come! Arabs!" Even then, Arabs were creating scare and fear. So basically, all these people concluded that these are bunch of hippies and crazy people, like, you know, and they are trying to show off. They are deliberately doing this to create some, they just want to do some show off. But what happened in all of this, they didn't know what to make of this Swamiji. Because here was a person, he was different. And everybody could clearly see, he is not like them. Why? He had dignified presence, extremely peaceful looking, completely in control of his emotions, his mind, his body. And everyone felt, here is a person, a different person. What is he doing here in this crazy place? Who is he? What is he doing? Now, after Washington Square Park, for 1 month, devotees were regularly going for kirtan. And every day they would meet blasphemers. Every day people would crack ribald jokes on them. There would be tension in the air. Somebody threw eggs and water balloons at them. Bullies would come, confront them, looking for a fight. Lot of tension in the air, but so far no violence.
So when devotees are going now, all the neighbors are heckling, making fun, and none of them felt that they shouldn't do this. They all felt these guys are crazy guys. Look at the way they have worn clothes. Look at what they are deliberately doing this to turn everything topsy-turvy. And they want us to stare at them and howl at them. So our response is only natural and normal for any respectable slum dweller. So they thought what we are doing is perfectly normal. So basically, even before they reached the park, they went through an amazing adventure. So all this was happening. And Srila Prabhupada, during the entire walk towards the park, was totally unaffected. Just occasionally he asked the devotees, what are they saying? And then he would be indifferent, he would walk. Prabhupada's walk, head held high, aristocratic, determined. His vision was Krishna's vision, spiritual vision. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, even from a worldly vision, Srila Prabhupada was never afraid of America. He said, I am an experienced Kolkata man. I can't be afraid of anything. I am not afraid of anything. So we have to understand this old man in New York with all these crazy hippies, completely unaffected, unafraid, and full confidence in the holy names and Sankirtan, and wanting to give Krishna to everyone. What an amazing personality. And he sat in the park, and he started singing, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta, and he played Kartal. And he closed his eyes. And for the next half an hour, Srila Prabhupada's eyes were closed as he was chanting. And the boys, now their confidence had grown, they kept rhythm with Srila Prabhupada. And nearby the trucks were rumbling, the dogs were barking. And people were mocking at them, wondering what is happening. But for these boys, as Srila Prabhupada began kirtan, Srila Prabhupada's voice, that voice, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he was chanting Hare Krishna. That voice was a shelter beyond all the crazy clashing dualities of New York. I remember one devotee was telling me recently that in the initial days of his Krishna consciousness, he would hear Srila Prabhupada's classes for getting points for his lectures. He says, I would hear lecture, I'd write some points, examples, and I would speak it in the class. He says, now when I play Prabhupada's class, I just don't feel like doing anything else. I just feel like, I feel a sense of shelter. He says, I just hear and I bask in his presence. And that's what these boys were feeling. For half an hour, Prabhupada's eyes were closed. You can see those videos Yadubhar Prabhu has made. Srila Prabhupada is playing the bongo drum, absorbed in Krishna. And slowly, hippies began to come, one by one, attracted. All these crazy boys were staying, hanging around, spaced out. You know, when I read this first time, I remembered Pied Piper of Hamelin. We had this story in school that there was a Pied Piper. Hamelin was a town in Germany in the 14th century. The town was infested with rats. So this Pied Piper came and he promised that I'll play this music on my pipe and I'll take away all the rats. He'll give me so much money. So they negotiated. And he played the pipe and all the rats, he drove them out of the town. But the town people didn't pay him well. So then he played another music and he took away all the children of the town. And the children disappeared. That's how he taught the town a lesson. So when I read the Prabhupada's, you know, I could imagine he's also like a Pied Piper playing the flute, the music, the pipe of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And all these young children, you know, lost in the lap of Maya, they just came out, just followed Srila Prabhupada. And one of the greatest musicians at that time who was there in that park, spaced out, Irving Halpin. He was a musician and he was a part of the musician community and he was loitering around. And he saw, and he got attracted. He got just drawn in by Srila Prabhupada's kirtan. And he felt welcome. Passers-by joined in. So Srila Prabhupada was singing lead as well as the chorus. So those who came a little late, they began to sing the lead also. So there was a continuous chorus, constant chorus going on. Everybody was chanting Hare Krishna. Intense. And the number grew to 250. It's a huge number. Till now 5-10 boys were coming. 250 boys and girls joining in kirtan in that park. You can imagine on a Sunday evening, big number. And because music, all these men, suddenly people landed up with different musical instruments. Somebody had a bongo drum, somebody had a congo drum. You may wonder what is the difference between bongo and congo. Congo drum is a little taller, bongo is a little fat and round. Both are from Cuba. Very nice music, sound they create. But we don't need them if you are mridanga. That time they didn't have. I remember once one devotee was playing bongo drum in the kirtan temple hall and very attractive. So one elderly devotee came and told in the ear,
Prabhu, when we have a bull to plow the field, why do we need a donkey? I said, Prabhu, but this is used for Krishna's service, you know. Then he kept quiet. But so the devotees came here with bongo drum, congo drums, and then flutes. Somebody had metal flutes, somebody came with bamboo flutes, then clackers, you know, wooden clackers, metal clackers. All these people, somebody came with mouth organs and tambourines and guitars. So you can imagine what a kirtan it must have been with all these musicians playing. And that time in New York, there was one very famous man, Allen Ginsberg. He was advocating free sex and drugs, and he was a very famous man. He was the leader of all the hippies. And he was in that park. And he got attracted, and he sat a little away, closed his eyes, and was absorbed in kirtan. And immediately all the newspapers started coming, and it was a sensational event. So New York Times came, and they saw Allen Ginsberg is here. He's absorbed in kirtan. They went running to him. Allen Ginsberg, what is this? Tell us something. They wanted to interview him. And he said, a man should not be disturbed when he's praying. Don't disturb me. And so that was again a big news for the media. They didn't know that, wow, this is far out. This is far out kirtan. So Srila Prabhupada at that time, his eyes were closed, was absorbed in kirtan. They had left their room, apartment at around 12:30 in the afternoon. And now he was striking to see. If you see those videos, you can see his forehead is furrowed. You can see intense lines and his face strong. And he's singing loudly. The veins in his temples are showing. And his jaw, you can see his jaw jutting forward. You can see that in the video. Some of you must have already seen. So Srila Prabhupada's entire demeanor was intense. He was chanting intensely. Although it was a pleasant demeanor, but everything about Srila Prabhupada was concentration. If you see that, it's full concentration on the holy names. What a kirtan that must have been. Even when you see the videos, you can see that absorption. And the community there immediately accepted it because it was for them. Like all the other spiritual organizations who had come, or the yoga studio of Ramurti Mishra. It was all for elite class, the peace vigils. Everybody was not welcome. Yoga retreats, it was all for a selected people. Here kirtan, everyone. So immediately everyone felt a sense of belongingness. They could connect to Srila Prabhupada's kirtan. And immediately what happens when such huge gathering happens? Like in India, even the West, same principle. Ice cream vendors came. Some people came selling something. One Polish boy came staring at all of them, what's happening. Then one man came with frankincense burning on a glowing coal, on a steel strainer. And the sweet fumes were blowing. People were smelling. And Srila Prabhupada, as the kirtan was going on, after 40 minutes he opened his eyes. He's playing the bongo drum. And you can see that video, he's telling Brahmananda, he's indicating to Brahmananda and Achyutananda. So they stand up, facing each other, they start dancing. The famous Swami step. Now Brahmananda Prabhu began dancing because Srila Prabhupada told him to stand up. And then Prabhupada again closed his eyes and he was again chanting. He was wondering, how long should I keep standing and dancing? So he wanted to sit, but he thought it will be an offense because Prabhupada just told me to stand. So he thought, okay, let me keep dancing, moving my legs till Prabhupada tells me or stops. And that didn't happen for the next 1.5 hours. Srila Prabhupada was only chanting. And here and there, private ecstasies were happening. One young girl, she was just on the bench alone, eyes closed, and she was shaking her head dreamily. And one old lady with a shawl on her head, she was staring at this girl. What is happening to this girl? And there were groups of old women who were coming together and they were talking incredulously. What is all this happening? And after a kirtan for 1.5 hours, Srila Prabhupada stood up. You can see that photograph under that oak tree. A famous tree now. Devotees go and do parikrama of that tree in New York. This is the power of a pure devotee. He can transform an ordinary place into a place of pilgrimage. Bhavadvida Bhagavatis Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabrata. Because he is carrying Krishna in his heart, he has the potency to convert any place into a place of pilgrimage. Maharaj Yudhishthir says this about Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir says this about Vidura. This applies to Srila Prabhupada also. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. He can convert an ordinary place into a holy place of pilgrimage. Therefore, a pure devotee is himself a holy place of pilgrimage. So like this, this happened. And Srila Prabhupada got up. And you know what he spoke? For the next few minutes, he spoke on the meaning of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sometimes devotees wonder how to present Krishna consciousness to secular audience in the new age. We should hear this class or read this class. Transcription. What a class to that crowd. Perfectly in line, knowing the pulse of the audience, he spoke about three levels of consciousness. He said there is sensual existence, three platforms of existence. There is sensual existence, there is mental, and there is intellectual. And then he said, but Hare Krishna is at the fourth level, spiritual dimension. And how by chanting Hare Krishna we transcend. And then after this talk, what an intelligent talk. Time, place and circumstances. Perfect talk. And then Srila Prabhupada sat down and again kirtan for 1.5 hours. And nobody thought that Srila Prabhupada should not do kirtan. He's an old man. If it was risky for a 71-year-old man to do this, he was ready to do it for Krishna. Because he had come from Vrindavan for this. He had waited for 1 year in oblivion for this. And America had been waiting for hundreds of years for this. And before Prabhupada, many spiritualists were there in America, but no Hare Krishna came. There was a very famous philosopher in America, Henry David Thoreau. Henry David Thoreau, he wrote this book called Walden, which is considered as the greatest book America has ever written. American has ever written. And this Henry David Thoreau was a great worshipper of Mother Ganga. He used to read Bhagavad Gita daily. He used to do yoga every day. But he never spoke about kirtan. His guru, Ralph Waldo Emerson, he was also a great philosopher. But they never, Hare Krishna never came from all their writings. Swami Vivekananda went to America in 1893 and gave this famous talk. But no Hare Krishna kirtan came from there. But here was Srila Prabhupada, who was inundating America and through America the whole world with the chanting. Finally, Krishna Bhakti was flowing like Mother Ganga, unstoppable. And then when they were walking back, the taunts were less. But it was there. Srila Prabhupada completely unaffected, his head held high, grave, but his eyes, he was noticing the people. And suddenly, Prabhupada looked at Kirtananda and indicated to him something. And Kirtananda hurried ahead of the group. And then, when Srila Prabhupada reached the door, already there was a huge crowd gathered at the door. And Srila Prabhupada entered, directly went to the Vyasasana and he sat. And these people came, they sat around him. And Srila Prabhupada spoke, quoted Sanskrit. And there was one long-haired girl. And she appeared to be in a trance. And she raised her hand in the middle of Prabhupada's talk. And she said, oh, what a chanting is so nice. I feel a concentration of energy in my head. Buzzing comes. And I can hear a buzzing sound and some red light comes up. And she was in the trance, you know. Srila Prabhupada said, keep chanting, it will clear up. And immediately, she came out of her trance. She became normal. She realized, oh, Srila Prabhupada had this amazing ability to demystify everything. So then one man said, what will this chanting produce? Srila Prabhupada said, more chanting. See, at what level Srila Prabhupada was operating, you know, what level he was living. So one man challenged, Swamiji, this is some hypnotism. And Srila Prabhupada refuted. So as this was going on, all of Srila Prabhupada's young boys, you have to understand, they were Kanishtha Adhikaris. They were now trying, Srila Prabhupada's purity, he was bringing them up. He was taking them to a higher level. They felt a sense of victory and a big responsibility now. And that time Kirtanananda came. Srila Prabhupada's farsightedness, while walking towards the apartment, he had noticed the people, he had understood what will happen future. He had sent Kirtanananda ahead. And now as Prabhupada is giving this talk, Kirtanananda came with a big tray of sweet rice. He had come earlier to prepare sweet rice. It's in all cups they bought for all the people who were sitting. Srila Prabhupada was in the spiritual realm, feet firmly on the ground, knowing what is needed. He did that. And as the class was going on, suddenly one boy got up and he began screaming, I! 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 And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, yes, yes. And again he kept screaming, I. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And Srila Prabhupada then quoted, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, chant Hare Krishna. And all your miseries of material world will go away. Then he screamed, what is material world? And Prabhupada explained to him what is material world. So like this, this went on till 10 o'clock in the night. See, they left at 12:30 in the afternoon. And at 10:30, Srila Prabhupada, late night, everybody had gone. Srila Prabhupada was in the bed. One of his disciples bought a cup of hot milk. Srila Prabhupada was drinking. And these boys were just surrounding Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is lying on the mat. He is lying on the floor, sleeping. And he is talking to them. So this boy said, Swamiji, we should do this kirtan every Sunday. Prabhupada said, every week? No, every day we should do. And as Prabhupada was talking, his voice began to trail off. And as he was talking, his voice was trailing off and he went off to sleep. And the boys quietly, they tiptoed out of the room. They closed the door. And next day morning, New York Times headlines. It was on all the papers. Devotees are so excited. They bought the newspapers to Srila Prabhupada. One article said, Swamiji, folks chant Hare Krishna. They chant the names of Krishna. Krishna means bringer of light. Rama means Vishnu. Vishnu means prince of responsibility. So devotees are laughing. Where did they get all this translation? And so devotees are having a great time because of the publicity they got. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy to hear that everyone was laughing, everyone was cheering, and Hayagriva Prabhu's interview had come in that paper. Hayagriva Prabhu had said, I used to take 50 doses of LSD earlier. Now I just chant Hare Krishna. I don't need LSD. And Srila Prabhupada's details were given in the article. And the language was very, very wild and slangish language. So devotees were repeatedly apologizing to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, sorry for this language. Because they were calling Prabhupada not, you know, reverentially like His grace or His divine grace. They were calling Him as a lanky old man. You know, things, the slang words in English. So the devotees were apologetic. But Prabhupada was happy. He said, no, you know, Hare Krishna is being covered. And then the kirtan began morning. But see, the problems in this world will remain. The morning kirtan began, the neighbors above, they were upset. They used to always be upset with the kirtan. So whenever this neighbor would be upset with the kirtan, and there was wooden ceiling, there was a gap, he would throw water from the gaps. Water would fall. So Prabhupada would say, softly, softly, we'll do kirtan softly. And then, not only would throw water, and he would stomp his feet heavily to make it clear that this water falling is not accident. It is deliberate. And Srila Prabhupada would tell devotees to get buckets and pots, and they would take the water. So that's how Krishna consciousness spread. So what we did just now in the last few minutes is just we did simple hearing about Uttam Adhikari, about a pure devotee. So when devotees meet, and if we, to the extent we do this attentively and we just glorify Krishna, Krishna's pure devotees, if we are present, our hearts get purified. And when our hearts get purified, we develop affection. And when we develop affection, we get attached. And when there is attachment, it's another name of love. So if you see, ultimately it's so simple. The most important service is hearing. So Madhyam Adhikari will not only make hearing and chanting his number one goal, he will create facilities and he will encourage other devotees to do hearing and chanting. And everything auspicious in our lives will follow when we show our humility by coming together and hearing about Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.